Thank you, Pastor Paul. As Pastor Paul mentioned, I'm Don. I'm one of the deacons here at Submerged Church. It's awesome to be here with you tonight. And I'm just thankful and humbled to be sharing this word that God's laid on my heart tonight, persistence. Paul kind of mentioned it, but persistence is just kind of, I'm kind of a high-wired, kind of high-energy guy. So persistence has always been just it's kind of one of my favorite topics and favorite things to read a bit about and just really admire folks that have won the race and whatever they're doing, as long as it's honorable and right and just. And so I've always loved persistence. Sometimes we think in God's Word, in the Bible, we don't think of the Bible as like a bunch of stories or accounts of persistence, maybe. Maybe we don't think much about that. I know before doing this message, I hadn't thought maybe a whole lot of that, just a bunch of examples of persistence. But I'll share that with you along the road, what I have to share that God's put before me tonight. Jesus taught hardcore persistence back when he walked on this earth, and he taught persistence. We, as Americans, just the way we're at in this stage of life, we want instant gratification. We're kind of a microwave, kind of get-it-now kind of society. And I know I'm a lot the same way, not a super patient guy. I've talked about that before, and I'm, by the grace of God, working on my patience. We want it now. So instead of sometimes having that discipline and being persistent and waiting on the Lord, quitting looks sometimes good and it's more simple, and retreating and falling back is easier to do for all of us, and giving up just doesn't take a whole lot of discipline. So tonight I want to share that reward, the reward of persistence. And persistence is enjoying, think of this, persistence is really enjoying the journey from the promise to the provision of Almighty God. Just enjoying that journey from that promise to the provision of Almighty God. We're in this room today, every single one of us, because of the greatest persistence ever, the persistence of Jesus at Calvary, shedding his blood for us, and he won at the cross. So let's pray one more time fast. Lord God, please wipe out from my brain. What a busy, wonderful day, but just wipe my brain, Lord, clean tonight and get back to that place of where I've prepared and I've done my best to put forth this message for these awesome folks here tonight at Submerged Church, and pray that we would all come to that place where we would just learn these wonderful examples from your word tonight on persistence, in Jesus' name. Persistent people take action. Next slide there. I might not recognize this, some of you younger folks in here, but it's Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and had quite a reign there and did some wonderful things at that time. Not all wonderful, but most, for the most part, in history. And he was asked to speak at a commencement message for a very prestigious university in the United Kingdom. This is many years ago. But it was at that commencement, he came up to the lectern, and this is a recount of his speech. And he stood and looked at the big audience, at the university students that were graduating, and guests, and honored guests, and all that. And he said, "Never give up." And then he paused for about 30 seconds of silence. Many folks in the audience looked at one another and thought maybe he was having a health concern, or perhaps left his notes behind at his chair, not sure what was happening. About 30 seconds later, he, in a little louder voice, not moving his hands from the lectern, just stared at everyone and said, "Never give up." And he stood for another 40 seconds of silence. And just a very unique situation in that room. That audience was just like really troubled. Like, what is happening? And third time he did it, he said, "Never give up." About 40 seconds later, one final time, the fourth time, I'm not counting right if I did four or not, but fourth time, in a loud, commanding, confident voice, he spoke the words, "Never give up." And then he went back to his chair. It was a 3-minute speech, 12 total words, but it's one speech, literally, that the world, and the United Kingdom especially, recounts to this day, that they've never forgot the account of that speech. Persistent people take action. If you go to the next slide, this is Gene from one of my really favorite inspirational, persistent movies, Apollo 13, a real-life event. They needed to try to save these astronauts with a broken spaceship, and Gene was at Mission Control, and he was talking to the engineers and the technical folks, and he said, how are we going to get these astronauts back home? We got to figure this out. Everything was no, roadblock. No, can't do it. This can't be done, Gene. This can't be done. Finally, he got fed up. He said, no, stop. I've never lost an astronaut on my watch, and it's not happening now. And he said, failure is not an option. You see, persistence has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with raw intelligence or, you know, looks or the color of our skin. It has nothing to do with that. It comes from the courage from within the human heart to persevere and persist. Some say, gosh, not now. It's like, I'll persist later. I got kind of tough right now. I'm a little tired. And some might say, yeah, it's got a lot on my plate. It's hard right now, and kind of whine about it. And this can be easy to do. But we truly need to learn to persist through the tough times. God gives us many examples of persistent men and women. I'll share a few of those with you now. On this slide here, you'll see, probably recognize this big boat, Noah. Noah, working on a project for 120 years, building an ark. All humanity laughed at him at that time. At that time, nobody had ever seen rain. Noah and his family lived hundreds of miles away from the nearest body of water. There never had been rain at that time from the sky. People didn't know what it was. Noah, on the other hand, was persistent. Picture day after day. Noah gets up early in the morning. He gets out there. It's 74 degrees, blue skies, sunshine, not a cloud in the sky. And he's building for a flood. He's building the ark. He's persistent. He's persistent when the neighbors, Larry and Betty, walk by and he says, good morning, Larry. Good morning, Betty. And the neighbors say, you're crazy. This guy's nuts. He's building this ark. He thinks it's going to rain from the sky. It's never rained from the sky. Persistence when they mocked him. Persistence when Noah tried to save them. He told them there's a flood coming and you can be saved. But the Lord has commanded that I build this ark. And they laughed, scoffed at him. Rain does not fall from the sky. Picture it. 120 years are the same kind of years we have now. 120 years. Building this ark. So he had his neighborhood, had his community. There was people that were born, went through life, got married, had kids. 120 years, day after day, building the ark. Those kids have kids, and then building the ark. Those kids get married, and they have kids. Generations. Generations, and he did not quit. 120 years to build this mammoth ark. Life went on for those years. And people watched this bizarre event and just thought, this man is nuts. Persistence. Imagine putting all those animals on the boat. I kind of picture a walkway there, like, you can imagine the turtle. You know, I would have picked that thing up, and I don't know, maybe Noah did. I don't know, but just that persistence and that patience. But ultimately, Noah saved his family. And Noah, more importantly, saved the world. By following God's command, he was persistent. Moses, returning to Egypt after 40 years in exile to let the Israelites go free. Persistent. Moses the murderer. He was called to try and try again. Didn't give up. Stayed persistent. Jesus taught that persistence principle. People who put their hands to the plow are going to have victory. It's in God's word. Look forward. Don't look back in the rearview mirror. Don't look at failure. Don't dwell on those past mistakes. The Bible says to keep the faith, to stay persistent. Press on. Paul in the Bible had trials. He was beaten, stoned, left for dead, falsely imprisoned. What a life Paul led on this earth back in the Bible days. Through it all, Paul said, these light afflictions are not worthy to be mentioned in the light of the glory that God has for this world. Think of that. After all those trials he went through, he said that. Paul said, we're pressed down on every side. We're getting crushed. We're struck down, but we're not knocked out. How about you? Have you ever been knocked down? Have you been knocked down by the betrayal maybe of a friend? Or have you been knocked down by the death of someone you love dearly? Have you been knocked down maybe by a disease or a sickness? Or have you been knocked down by maybe a financial burden or crisis? Maybe you've been knocked down by a tragedy that struck close to your family. If so, the message from heaven tonight, I bring you hope, is get up. Get up for Jesus and win that race and be persistent. Jesus wants to lean on the battles with you and go through him, through the battles with you and with him. So if we endure on this earth, Paul said it in so many words, but and we stay persistent for his kingdom, oh my, can imagine the joy. We can't even imagine the joy. Hard to even put it humanly in perspective. If we endure for Jesus, it's all ours in heaven. Story of Jacob, wrestling with the angel of the Lord until daybreak. Think of that, persistence. Wrestled all night long. He says, nope, I'm not giving up. No way. Not stopping until you bless me. There's Jacob wrestling all night long to get that blessing. And he wrestled through the night. At the break of the day, the angel touched him on the thigh, and he walked the rest of his days with a limp, with that encounter of endurance on the night that he wrestled with the angel for Almighty God. Abraham, 100 years old, persistence, waiting to have a child, to be a dad, and he was blessed. Persistence is Job, attending the funeral of his 10 children, losing all his wealth, losing all of his health. And Job says, though God slays me, I'm going to come forth like pure gold, meaning I'm not about to quit. Job said, look at me, boils and all. You can't beat me. I'm a winner with God on my side. Next slide. Persistence says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Persistence is like, if we just think God tells us, we move a mountain with faith. We just move that mountain, get it out of our way if we're persistent. And we have that faith of a mustard seed. Persistence says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next, please, Lydia. You can't be a disciple of Christ without being a soul winner. So if we think about that, we all own our data, our own hearts. Where are you in your spiritual walk? Where are your spiritual children? Where are your spiritual grandchildren? Where are your spiritual roommates? Where are your spiritual coworkers? Where are your spiritual friends? You can't be a disciple of Christ without being a soul winner. Passion and persistence produces fruit. Fruit takes time. A banana just doesn't ripen in 1 second on that vine. It takes time. Persistence takes time. Fruit takes time to ripen. Only in persistence will we produce fruit. Next, please. Jesus. Oh, praise God. Jesus came into this world to win the lost. And that is a top priority. The top priority of the church. It should and always have been the top priority, and in the future should always be the top priority of any church. Persistence. Think of these statistics. Billy Graham is just a fascinating man to me. What a great man of God that served our Lord. And I just think of, I love to listen to some of his sermons online to this day on YouTube, and think of a few of these stats. Billy Graham conducted more than 400 crusades in 185 countries and territories on 6 continents. The very first Billy Graham crusade, the very first one, was held in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1947. First crusade, 9-day crusade. In those 9 days, 6,000 people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Billy Graham in 1947. Billy Graham, at the time, 28 years of age. Fast forward now to 1973, Reverend Billy Graham preached at his largest crusade ever, a five-day event in Seoul, South Korea, and he preached those 5 days to 3.2 million. 3.2 million people, oh, praise God, heard the gospel in Seoul, South Korea in 1973. Persistence. In February 2018, Billy Graham died at the age of 99. Next slide, please. This guy on the right, you might recognize him. That's a picture of persistence. That's Pastor Bob Bartlett. The guy on the left you might not know, but that is also Pastor Bob Bartlett. Persistence. This is what you get when you let a guy like me stay in your home and you don't watch me. I down in Bob's basement, they got some beautiful, and Bob and Lila sold beautiful family pictures of family and grandkids and Bob and Lila. And I took that one on the sly on the left there, and Bob was gracious to let me take his picture, the modern day one, a week ago on the right. But persistence. Oh, persistence. Pastor Bob Bartlett joined forces with a young church at Grand Forks, North Dakota, led by Pastor Tom Dunham at the time. Bob was raised up as a pastor in 1993 in Grand Forks. Over the next 5 years, that church grew from 25 attendees on a Sunday morning to, by the grace of God, in a five-year time, to 350. Think of that persistence. You see, it didn't happen in a day, didn't happen in a week, didn't happen in a year, didn't happen in 10 years. But by that persistence, Pastor Bob proclaiming the name of Jesus, and today now hundreds of members at Cottonwood Community Church in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And now Bob is still here. We're blessed to have him to still hear his messages here at Submerge, but now he's passing the torch on to Pastor Paul Letvin. And just think of what God may have in store, the hope for the growth of Submerge Church through the leadership of Pastor Paul. Next slide, Pastor Salem. I mention this gentleman often. I enjoy his messages too. I listened to him last Sunday on the drive home from our lake home. We're not even living in it yet. I'm still leeching off of Bob and Lila, but we close on the 29th of this month, praise God. So I can, not because I'm leaving you, Bob. I'm just thankful to get into a home again. But anyway, I was listening on the way home, and this he started as a preacher at age 23 in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Well, didn't start at Aberdeen, but most of his tenure was in Aberdeen. 23 years of age, started out preaching. He's been preaching the gospel for 75 years. How old does that make him? Started at 23, preaching the gospel for 75 years. He is 98 years of age today, and he preaches every single weekend. Just a marvelous testimony to persistence. The man is so persistent. So he was giving his message, and he gets a little mumbly and bumbly sometimes, but I just love it. He just is just preaching God's word. And he said, yeah, I was talking to a guy the other day on the street of Aberdeen, and he was saying that 75 years. Oh, I had no idea. You've been preaching for 75 years. I hear you sometimes. And after 75 years, I thought you'd be better than that. And Pastor Salem said, I just smiled back at him. I said, you should have heard me 75 years ago. Persistence. Oh, praise God for Pastor Salem and persistence. Next slide. God loves a winner. And you, myself, we cannot win the race for Jesus. We can't win it without persistence. It's a journey. Persistence is that decision in your heart, in our hearts, to win for Jesus. You see a picture of a dog laying on a porch, and the story goes of two farmers that were at the porch, rocking chairs, and they were observing this dog sleeping on the porch. And the one farmer, after an hour of visiting, he says to his friend, I don't get your dog. Man, is he sick? He just, about every 5 minutes or so, he's kind of whining, and he's kind of groaning. Best dog thing I've got. But he's kind of whining, and is he in pain? Is it? No, he's not sick. I said, what's going on? And the farmer says, he's sleeping on a nail. And the friend says, why doesn't he get off the nail? Why doesn't the dog get up, get off the nail, and go find a more comfortable spot? And the farmer says, well, I reckon it doesn't hurt enough. See, I know there have been times in my life when I've been in that spot where maybe it doesn't hurt enough. And I'm not persistence to get off the nail and to go on to that next step for that event or for Jesus or that next step to be better, be a better husband, to be a better dad. Sometimes it's easier to just rest instead of getting off the nail. Next slide. Three D's of every Christian must have to finish that race for Jesus is duty, discipline, and determination. So you might want to ask yourself, is that you, or do you start and maybe not finish? Saying no to a great salesperson is like saying no to a dog. They just keep coming back and barking at you. So I had a friend years ago that His product, the numbers with his product, tough product to sell, was 94. He had to have 94 presentations to get a sale. So, but when he had the sale, it was big, big money. Made a lot of money. So he would just moving and grooving, and he'd get a no, and he'd just like, yeah, yes, got another no. I was thinking, what? And Brian, another no. I celebrate the no's because I just know it's that much closer to the yes. And he's persistent. He didn't count the yeses. He counted the no's because he knew it was closer to that yes. Persistence. Not every business makes $1 million in a first year. Persistent people stay focused. They stay persistent. They keep doing the same things over and over again. And if they do it right and honorable, most of these companies can be successful. Quitting is just, it's just inherently easy for all of us. It just is. It's easier just to say, not right now. It's just always easy to say, it's always too soon to say quit. It just is. You know, you start something, it's just always too soon, I believe, to say quit if you're doing something that you believe is right and what God's led you to do. So God says, you know, put on the whole armor for him. Wake up in the morning, look in that mirror, and just put on your armor for God and say, I'm going to win the race for you today, Jesus. Next slide, I'm going to have a little clip played here. Lydia will play this clip in a minute here. This is, the backdrop is, if you've seen the movie Rudy, wonderful movie of persistence. This young man wanted to be a football player for his college in his town, Notre Dame. He wanted to play football for Notre Dame, and he told everybody, I'm going to play football for Notre Dame. And he was laughed at, and yeah, whatever, you're too small, you're too short, you're not fast, you can't be playing for Notre Dame. But he kept the faith, and he just said, I'm going to persist. And the storyline goes that based on that true story, he fought and fought and fought, and somehow eventually got onto the practice squad. That whole first year on the practice squad, he just got kicked around and beat around, and they laughed at him, and it's like, Rudy, get out of here, and they throw water at him and just made fun of him. But he got bloody every day, and he was the toughest kid out there, and he kept working, and they started to like him. They started to respect him. They started to honor him. They started to love him. He was that hardworking guy. So the coach said, notice this, and said, Rudy, next year you're not gonna start or ever probably play more than a series, but I'm gonna commit to you to get you out on that field. I'm gonna let you play for me next year. Rudy just worked his butt off again, ready for the next season. That coach went on to get another job. New coach comes in. Rudy says, hey, coach, you get to play this year. The coach before said, I don't care about the coach before. I'm the new coach, and you're not good, and you're not playing on my football team. You can sit out there and get beat around in practice, but you're not going to play. So that is the setup here of the new coach, now the teammates. This is the story of the teammates now coming into the coach's office to talk to Coach Devine.
Well, hi, Roland. Come in.
I want Rudy to dress in my place, Coach. He deserves it.
Don't be ridiculous. Georgia Tech is one of the top offensive teams in the country. You're an All-American and our captain. Act like it.
I believe I am.
Me too, Coach. I want Rudy to dress in my place.
Coach, it's Rudy. For Rudy, Coach.
You've never seen that movie. It's just an absolute terrific movie. Clean, wholesome. It's a wonderful movie. Not tonight, but cry every time I watch it. Just it's persistence. Just persistence. Rudy was persistent. Football games are not won at halftime. It takes the whole game. The team that executes, does the proper plays at the proper time, and persistent in all those areas of the game wins. Many people in this world today, they do begin with the Lord, and they walk with him. And they maybe for a week, for a month, a year, and then they kind of fade and give up, and they just don't end well. Bob had shared a comment with me when I snapped this photog of him. That's the photog. He said about this message, he said, a Barna study of believers in Jesus Christ that become saved, and then they walk with the Lord. After a 20-year period of time, there's only one left out of every five. The other four fade. The other four fade, and they don't end well. How tragic. Think of that in a marriage, marriages that start well but then don't end well. Just sad. I mean, my wife can't, by the grace of God and by her patience with me, I grow deeper and deeper in love with my wife every single day, and I'm so grateful for her. And I think of Red Skeleton as a comedian years ago, and he made in one of his little comedy sketches, he said, you know what, marriage is not, it's not exciting all the time. My wife will tell you that. He said, my wife tells people, we got married for better or for worse. He couldn't do better, and I couldn't do worse. Good old Red Skeleton. Closing couple of verses here. Revelations 3, verses 5. Another powerful verse from God's word. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Oh, praise God, loves a winner. And he cannot win the race for Jesus without that persistence. Revelation 3:12, the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Next slide, persistence. Here's a picture depicting of Jesus, graphic picture of him suffering on the cross. Persistence is Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Oh my. No one endured that kind of torture, that kind of suffering for all those hours until those final three words of, it is finished. That is the greatest example of persistence this world will ever know. Jesus is the champion. He's a champion for our, he died for our sins, that shed blood. And he's got that victory of the cross for us. Oh, the people would only return to Jesus. There's no joy. There just is no true joy without Jesus in all of our lives. We're never successful until Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Last slide here, the big idea, ending on that, persistence. Finish the race. Oh, God, may we all just finish the race for Jesus. But the one, Matthew 24:13, but the one who stands firm to the very end will be saved. I gave a couple examples of a good man, Rudy, a good example of persistence. I gave a better example of Pastor Bob, a great example of persistence. And then I ended on the slide of our Lord Jesus, the persistence and the victory at Calvary, the greatest example of persistence in our history. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, there may be someone in this room here tonight that maybe has kind of given up on their job and they're frustrated. Oh God, maybe they have a renewed hope tonight to the job is all they have and they're supporting their family. May they maybe have a new renewed hope and persistence in that job. God, maybe there's someone here tonight perhaps that has or in a relationship that maybe is starting to fade and not doing well. God, I pray for that person tonight, Lord, that they might say, you know what, it takes two of us, and maybe tonight, God, I want to renew my hope in my relationship. God, maybe finally there's someone here tonight, Lord God, that's saying, you know what, I got saved, and I followed you, Jesus, and now here I am all these years later, and I've been fading, Lord God. I've just been fading, and I'm just not ending well. And God, maybe now tonight, maybe right now, God, maybe that person is saying, you know what? I'm going to go back to that place of failure, and I'm going to pick up the pieces, Lord God, and I want to win. Oh, God, I want to win the race for you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.